on.
So excited to be here. We have brought the Kairos School of Ministry team with us, but more importantly, my wife and my daughter are here, Gabby and Corey, and my daughter on the way. We're so just so excited. And isn't it just, I love being around Pastor Marty and Pastor Patty. They just like, when you're around people that love people, don't you just want to love people more and it's just, and love God more, and it's just amazing. So we have some awesome stuff going on at Eagles Wings at the Tabernacle in Orchard Park. But quick things, real quick before we get into the word tonight. We want to give away a free Israel calendar. This has all pictures from Israel on it. It's given away for free. All we're asking is that you just sign up to be on our mailing list in the back, and you can grab that on your way out. We also have some content for you, some prayer guides if you want to learn how to pray for Israel. So all of that stuff is available to you. And then also, if you love Stephen Jenks' worship tonight, especially young people, he's got a album here called Future Worship, and this is the sound of the future. I was there when a lot of these songs were written spontaneously and in his prayer closet, and it's amazing to get into your houses. So make sure you pick up one of those. So it's some awesome stuff. Well, one of the things, I'm the youth pastor at the Tabernacle, and I run the School of Ministry currently with my wife, Gabby. And one of the things we love to do when we are given a platform, Bishop Robert has time and time again just elevated my wife and I in our ministry by offering opportunities that he's had to me. And I want to just continue on in that spirit. And we want to have one of our School of Ministry students come and give you a quick 4 or 5 minute exhortation at where we go when we travel and at our youth ministry. We call these fire on the altars. Okay? And so she's going to fire up the altar right now before we get into the word. I want to welcome up Summer Kless as she comes up. And can you give her a big welcome? Summer has an amazing anointing to see a generation encounter a living God, and we want to hear from her as we open up tonight. So, Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you that it's living and active. It's sharper than a two-edged sword, and it can come in a moment, in 5 minutes, and it can transform our lives in a minute. And, God, we just receive Summer as a servant and a gift from you in Jesus' name. Can you just open your hearts and give it up for Summer tonight?
Thank you. Thank you, Pastor Mark. So tonight, the title of my message is Encountering the Father, and I'm going to be coming from 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all, with unveiled faces, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. So in this verse, we see that encountering the Father changes everything, and we are transformed by his presence, and we go from glory to glory. You want to be brave? Get into his presence. You want to have confidence? Get into his presence. You want to be free? Get into his presence. You want to be healed? Get into his presence. You want to be loved and filled with his glory? Get into his presence. And one of the things that the Lord really has been showing me is that we don't have to be perfect. We don't have to be perfect to come before the Father and expect him to encounter our hearts. So I want to counteract that lie that we believe that we have to work something up, that we have to, this has to get in order first in order for God to come and to show himself to me. But the Father would have no need to encounter us if we were perfect. That wouldn't be unconditional love on his part to us. The third thing is that there are no formulas to an encounter with him. I don't know who said this, but I read this a couple days ago, and it says, God encounters those with a little bit of faith but a lot of humility. But the Apostle Paul needed an encounter to be humbled on his road to Damascus, and he didn't have it all together. So I just want to encourage us that we don't have to have it all together, and that the Lord will stop us in our tracks and encounter us either way. The fourth thing is that we can expect to have encounters with him, And it's not a bad thing to expect this from him, because he desires to touch us. So how do we continue live in this place of encounter? Well, it's by thanksgiving and praise flowing from us to the Father. And it leaves a continually open door towards us and our Father. So encounters with the Father change everything and changes us. And we won't be transformed if we don't get into his presence. We don't have to work something up to be perfect or to have an encounter with him. There's no formula to an encounter with our Father. And we need to expect encounters from him. Amen.
It's a good word. Is that a good word? It's awesome. All right. Well, if you guys can turn to Mark 9, we're going to be looking at Mark 9 with the remainder of our time this evening. Just so honored again to just be here with Pastor Marty and Pastor Patty and Ryan and just the leadership team here in Batavia. And I believe the message that we're about to get in the last 20 minutes that we're here together is a message of hope. I believe for TAG, this is a training, a generation message. I believe for the adults here, this is a call to be spiritual mothers and fathers. This is a message of hope for the next generation. I want to talk to you guys about seeing a generation healed, and I have hope for this generation, and I believe this is what rests on this house. There's a Nehemiah anointing on the man of God of this house, and you guys have all caught it as being a part of this family of repairing the city and coming to a moment where you hear this is Nehemiah summed up in a moment. He gets a report about what's going on in Jerusalem, in the city, and because of the condition of the report, he weeps over it and decides that I'm going to leave the comforts of my situation. And he was a slave, but let's be honest, he was in a good situation as a slave, as the right-hand man to the king of Babylon, right? And so he mourned over the condition of his city, Jerusalem, and he decided to do something about it. He wept over it, and he went and made a difference of it. I believe that spirit is on this house and on this church, and I believe that through this message, we're going to get a heart for the generation that we're a part of. We're going to hear the report of it, but then know that there is an answer and that there is a hope to bring to this generation, the report of this generation. So I want to read you guys an email that I got this afternoon at 3 p.m. If I had a dollar for every time I got a question like this or an email like this, I'd have a couple dollars. Okay. So it goes like this. It says, "Hi, Mark. I'm a nurse at a volunteer clinic in downtown Buffalo, and I've been a member of your church," she's from the Tabernacle, "and a Christian since I was a teenager. Recently, I have been challenged with more and more young teenagers and early 20s coming into our clinic with deep emotional wounds. Recently this week, a young lesbian girl with bite marks on her from going to the clubs, and a young girl with scabs all over her body from picking at her skin to relieve her anxiety. The list goes on and on. My daughter works in an ER in Rochester and tells me she sees the very same thing. Every shift, some teenager comes in on an overdose or another suicide attempt or has a cutting self-harm problem, and this happens every day. It's an everyday event. She goes, I have the privilege and freedom to pray with each of them and try my best as I can to share with them the knowledge that God loves them, and I refer them to counseling, but she says, I was just wondering what's the Lord been showing you about this generation. And I want to talk to you about what the Lord has shown me about this generation right out of the book of Mark 9, out of the book of Mark, verse 9, verse 14. So I think we have this up here. We're going to read it together if you guys want to look up there if you don't have your Bibles. Mark 9 says, "And he came to his disciples, and he saw a great multitude around them, and scribes were disputing with them. Immediately they saw him," Jesus. "All the people were greatly amazed, and running to Jesus, they greeted him, and he asked the scribes, 'What are you discussing?' And then someone from the crowd answered and said, 'Teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit, and wherever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, he gnashes his teeth, and he becomes rigid.'" Luke 9 records this account as well, and in Luke 9 it says the father adds this detail to his son's condition. The detail that the father adds is that it departs from my son with great difficulty after he bruises himself. And so we see in Mark 9 that he gets relief from the Spirit as he bruises himself. But let's carry on in Luke 9. Let's carry on in Mark 9. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not. And so he answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring the boy to me. And they brought him to him. And when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him, and he fell on the ground, and he wallowed, foaming at the mouth. So he asked the father, how long has this been happening to him? And the father said to him, from childhood, and often he's thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And so Jesus immediately says to the father, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. And immediately the father goes back. So we see this quick interchange between the father and Jesus. And the father of the child cried out and said with tears in his eyes, he says, Lord, I believe, but help me with all of my unbelief. And when Jesus saw the people running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit out of the boy, saying to it, deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more. And the spirit cried out, convulsed him greatly, and came out of him, and he became as one dead, so that many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. This story in Mark 9 gives me hope for our generation. I believe when we read this story in Mark 9, what we see is we see Jesus 2,000 years ago addressing the everyday condition that woman emailed me about, the everyday condition of millennials ages 12 to 30 years old in our generation. When I wake up in the morning and disciple young people in our youth ministry or young adults in our school of ministry, the reason I wake up with hope and not just seeing all of the self-harm and all of the emotional trauma and all the spiritual trauma and the abuse and the addiction and all that stuff and not give up on hope is because of this story. 3 years ago, I was at an Eagles Wings conference, and Joseph Garlington, anybody ever heard of Bishop Joseph Garlington? He was at the conference, and he was talking about something that had nothing to do with this story. And he goes out on this tangent. I don't know if you've ever, been under his ministry, but he is a bunny trail. He's a word of wisdom minister. He just goes down these bunny trails and follows these amazing nuggets that you just that could be it. If he just gave you one of those nuggets for the night, that could change your life. And that's what happened to me this one night. All of a sudden, he's talking about letting Jesus break your heart for something, for a generation. And he says, you can be the father of a demonically possessed generation and cry out for God to heal it. And the second he said that, it was like a ton of bricks hit me. I was like, he's talking to me, and he probably wasn't even looking at me. I was in a crowd of 300 people, 400, 500 people. But it was as if he was speaking directly to me. And I want to pass that on to you because I believe with all of my heart, tag students and parents and grandparents here, I believe with all of my heart that it doesn't matter if you're 12 years old or 91 years old, you can be a spiritual mother and father to an entire generation by simply crying out for the generation to see God deliver it of demonic torment, just like we see in this book of Mark 9. And that's my call to you tonight. It's as simple as that. If I didn't have another minute to speak to you, I want to invite you at 12 years old and invite you at 91 years old or wherever you fall in between that to take on the heart of a spiritual mother and father and weep and cry out for a generation to see Jesus come down off of the mountain and step into a young person's life and deliver them from whatever they're going through, whatever baggage or torment or emotional wounding that they are living under, whatever spiritual deception, whatever self-harm, whatever they are in, that we could intercede on their behalf. They're not praying for themselves, but we can pray for this generation and see Jesus break through into their lives. This boy said absolutely nothing to Jesus. It was all the intercession of his father that made all the difference in this boy's life. To me, that means your life can make all of the difference into anybody's life by simply getting on your knees and crying out for a generation or crying out for a person. I'm talking to parents here tonight who have prodigal husbands kids or wives who have prodigal husbands, husbands who have prodigal wives, uncles, brothers, sisters. I'm talking to parents, kids who have parents that aren't walking with the Lord. It doesn't matter what age you are. You can take on the heart of a spiritual mother and father and weep over the people that you love and see Jesus come off of the mountain and invade and encounter their lives. And if that was it, that would be good news. But let me just really break this down to you in an even deeper way. The Father addresses the condition. He explains it with great detail as I've studied this. Great detail, he tells Jesus. He says he seizes him. That word seizes him literally means that from a young age, darkness came into my son's life and took him and threw him down violently to the ground and cracked him into a million pieces. That's my story. At a young age, a kid just totally, totally oppressed by anxiety and fear and ultimately turned into shame and addiction and bad choices as I grew up. But this started at a young age, just like it did in this boy's life. I couldn't explain it to you. At 6 years old, being afraid to go places, having this sense of anxiety and shame in me that you couldn't articulate. I can articulate it now better as a 33-year-old than I could at 6 years old. But there was this looming darkness that felt like it had a hold on my life. And when Jesus says, how long has this been happening to the Father? He says, since a young age. And it seized me, and it threw me down, and it cracked my heart into a million pieces. I was a broken young man that was broken into a million pieces, and I left pieces at parties, and I left pieces with girls, and I left pieces with the doubt here, there, and everywhere. I was broken into a million pieces. The Father goes on and says, he foams at the mouth. And I was angry because that happened to me at a young age. I became angry. I was frothing in my life. I wasn't literally foaming at the mouth. I wasn't an epileptic. But to me, that symbolizes the anger that we just were mad at everybody. I was mad at the church. I was mad at my parents. I was mad at God. And then it goes on and it says that he gnashes his teeth. And I just was anxious and anxiety and just grinding my teeth and nervous and just rigid all the time. It says he became rigid and paralyzed. You could not move me. Just like this boy. You could not. I became so rigid. You're going to church, young man. No, I'm not. You couldn't move me on anything. Do that. No. And I believe this is the condition of our generation. Now, there's hope. I'm looking at hope right now. When we see the tag young people, I'm looking at that God's calling forth right now fathers and mothers of a generation to call out the rest of the generation that is in this. But we all have to find ourselves at some point. And I'm telling you, the main thing that I'm seeing as a pastor is the level of self-hate that young people are walking in, which can manifest in a lot of different ways. In my life, it manifested as suicidal thoughts. I could remember the moment that it happened. I was so rigid, so angry, frothing at the mouth. I walked into my mother's bedroom. I didn't want to go to school because anxiety had gripped hold of me so much. I was afraid to leave my room, and my mom was making me go to school, and I walked into my mother's bedroom at 7 in the morning before 8:15 homeroom, and I said, you cannot make me go to school. I hate you. I wish you would die. And the moment I said that, the moment I confessed that out loud, I broke a commandment of God that says, if you honor your mother and father, life will go long with you. And immediately, I wouldn't have been able to tell you that in that moment, but all of a sudden, thoughts of death and suicide and self-hate began to open up into my life. And so the Father talks about how often this happens, and it throws him into the fire. And I have metaphor on metaphor that we could look at into this, but this is what I want us to look at. The Father says, if you can do anything, have help on us, have compassion on us, and help us. The Father was asking if Jesus had the ability to deliver his son from this. Why? Because the disciples couldn't do it. The Father asked the disciples to do it, but they couldn't do it. So he says, if you can do anything, he's questioning the ability of Jesus to be able to do this. When we compare this to the Syrophoenician mother who has a demonically possessed daughter, she says, have mercy on me and deliver my daughter. When we compare this to the leper, he says, I know you're willing. I know you can heal me. Are you willing to heal me? So this is a completely different attitude that the Father has. The Father knows that Jesus wants to do this. I would offer that we all know in this room that Jesus wants to deliver and heal a generation. Don't we know that? The question of the age right now is not, is God love? Everybody's talking about God as love. But does God have power? Does God have power to come in and change our condition and to change our life? And I'm telling you, I wake up every morning knowing that 2,000 years ago, Jesus answered the power question, and he walked into a young adult's life, and he delivered them from all of the bondage and all of the torment that they were living in. And I believe he wants to do that in a generation right now, and he's looking for young people, 12 years old to 91 years old, young at heart, that are saying, I'm going to be a spiritual mother and father and cry out for a generation. This is the call to us tonight, and I get excited about it because I know with all of my heart that this is what God's doing in our generation. And I could go down and talk about what are the conditions of this boy. You know, he was rigid, and what did that mean? He was unable to bend. He didn't have muscle control. He was a skeptic. He was negative about everything. He was reluctant to everything. There was a level of hatred and hostility that was in him. He was a schizophrenic. If you look at the study of this, which means he was delusional and had false beliefs. There was a false reality that he was living in with hallucinations. He had no social engagement or social skills because of this condition. He was emotionally blunted. He wasn't able to express himself verbally, the emotions that were going on inside of him. His mind was intellectually deteriorating. To me, all of those are just the symptoms of our generation. And when I just start to study this, I'm like, oh my good Lord, like Jesus, you're doing something. You want to do something, but he needs fathers and mothers, because those out there, and I know this house is the house for the lost. They're not praying for themselves. They're not coming to Jesus, coming off the mountain. We need people that are standing in the gap. And it started with me. Jesus walked into my life just like he walked. I was the boy, and Jesus healed me just like he healed the boy. And then we become the father that cries out for other boys and other girls to see healed. And this is the progression. And I don't know where you're at tonight. Maybe you feel like, well, I'm the boy. I'm angry at God. I'm anxious. I got issues. I got things that I need God to come in and break through in my life. Well, that's great, because Jesus is coming off the mountain tonight and into your life to a place of encounter. And just like Summer said, you don't have to be perfect and you don't have to have it all together, but he's here and he's ready to encounter you. Or maybe you're on the other end of it and you're saying, man, I've just been waiting for an invitation to become a mother or father spiritually to a generation. And the invitation's out there for that today, because I see a whole generation of people who are in bondage, who aren't praying for themselves, who are demonically possessed. But if you have it in your heart, if you can believe as much as a mustard seed, he says, I believe, but help me with all my unbelief. If you can believe as much as a mustard seed, a small little mustard seed, even if you have unbelief, if you have a small little mustard seed, I believe that we can see a generation turned and healed and delivered for the glory of Jesus. Can you say amen? I'm ending right here. So, John the Apostle, in 1 John 3, he says this. He says, for this purpose the Son of God was made manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. That word destroy is only used one other time in the New Testament. Guess where it's used? When the Father says, he teareth my Son. He destroys my Son. Here's the picture I want you to get. The Father says that the devil came into my Son's life at a young age, and he destroyed him into a million pieces. John the Apostle says that there's one reason that Jesus came to the earth, and it was to destroy the devil. There is a cosmic battle between the devil and Jesus, and the devil cannot destroy Jesus. He comes to destroy us. But Jesus comes off of the mountain to not address the boy, but to address the spirit that is tormenting that boy and that is affecting that entire family. And he says, I've come for one reason, and that is to destroy the works of the devil. So here's the devil trying to break this little boy into a million pieces, and here's Jesus coming down and saying, devil, I'm going to break you into a million pieces. This is the hope of the gospel. Young people, we need to bring a Jesus that can deliver our friends out of bondage and out of anxiety and out of cutting themselves and out of harming. I want to email this woman back right now and tell her the answer is fasting and prayer. The answer, Jesus goes on, and the disciples say, why couldn't we cast this out. And Jesus says, you can, but these only come out with fasting and prayer. In other words, Jesus is trying to stir up a church in 2017 to live so radically for him that they can walk into people's situations and see them delivered and healed for the glory of Jesus, brought back into the family so that fathers and sons are reunited and sons and fathers are reunited. It's the spirit of Elijah, and the spirit of Elijah comes before the return of Jesus, and God's raising up an Elijah generation tag. I'm talking to you tonight. God's raising up an Elijah generation. It doesn't matter if you're 12 or 30 years old. It doesn't matter, parents, if you're 35 years old or 90 years old. We can get on our hands and knees. We can pray and weep for this generation. We can fast and pray, and we can see a generation healed just like we see the boy healed here in Mark 9. Can I pray for you guys as we end tonight? I want to just invite you tonight, young people, all ages. I am so, Pastor Aaron, thank you so much for bringing the young people. I did not know they were going to be here tonight. I am so, so encouraged, because I don't look at generations with age. We are all the generation. We are the generation of Jacob. We are the generation, all together, young and old, grabbing hold of this call together, to bring reconciliation between fathers and sons and sons and fathers. This is the healing that the kingdom offers, that whole households can be saved, that whole cities can be repaired and restored. This message in Jesus coming off the mountain is what is going to restore Batavia and the families of Batavia. It's going to break the power of addiction that is in the city of Batavia. It's going to break the divisive power that's breaking households and families up in the city of Batavia. This is the restoring message of Jesus, a mystical man who's living in fasting and prayer, and he comes off of a mountain and he walks into real people's situations and restores real families. You know, the best part I love about this is that this father wanted to have a right relationship with his son his whole life. You look at the beautiful relationships that Pastor Marty has with his sons. Can you imagine being a father who has a son that you can't connect with at that level, that you just want to pass on the love of God to? You want to see them grow with their kids and see that, you know, Moses commanded them to let the commandments pass from one generation to another. And I can just imagine this father not sure if it's going to make it to the next generation. And he's crying out on his knees and he's desperate, and he heard about these disciples and he brought them to them, and the disciples couldn't do it. But then Jesus comes off the mountain. I wonder how many people in Batavia and in the world right now have heard about Jesus, and they bring them, they heard about the disciples and they bring their families to the disciples, but the disciples don't have the power that Jesus had. Well, guess what? Jesus hasn't stored up the power just for himself. He takes his disciples aside, and that's you. That's you. Because 2,000 years ago, Jesus walked the Sea of Galilee and he called forth disciples, and he's still doing it today. He's still, 2,000 years later, by the power of the Holy Spirit, he's calling forth disciples. And we are given the authority, the same authority that Jesus had. But it comes through the hard work of prayer and fasting, and just like Nehemiah, actually caring about this and weeping over this and believing that, man, I'm going to leave the comforts of my schedule, the comforts of my day, and I'm going to make a difference. I'm going to go after this. I'm going to believe that I can make a difference and go out into the world and come down off of the mountain and see people restored and see power come into them. I want to ask for two types of people tonight. You walked in tonight and you needed Jesus to walk down off the mountain into your own life and heal your heart of something. Something emotional, something spiritual, something physical. This calls for you. Jesus has come. Salvation is here. The kingdom is here. It's right now. This moment is opened up to you. And then a second person, second people, where you're saying, I want to pick up this mantle. I want to become a spiritual mother and father to a generation through my prayer and my intercession and through my discipleship. If you fall into one of those two categories, I want to invite you to stand as I pray with you tonight. As an act of faith, as an act of faith that you're engaging with this, and you're saying, by standing, I'm believing that there's going to be a transference into my heart tonight. By standing right now, you're saying there's going to be a spiritual deposit that comes into my life. It comes onto my life. It comes into my house. I want to pray for you right now. Jesus, I thank you that you can walk into any situation and heal us. Heal us from things from when we were little kids, little things from when we were little boys or little girls, things that were done to us, issues that we grew up with, problems that we thought that emotionally or mentally that we thought we had, God, that you can come in and deliver us and turn us into men and turn us into women. And God, I pray that the seed of the Spirit would come tonight and transform us into spiritual mothers and fathers, that we would take up this call, the Great Commission, to become mothers and fathers and disciple a nation. God, I'm praying right now that you put a burden on people tonight, young and old. Young people, this is you. Some of you are called to be fathers in the locker room. Some of you are called to be mothers at cafeteria tables or in the hallways. It doesn't matter what age you are. Fathers and mothers are mature. You can be a 50-year-old dad and still be a little kid. Just as much as you can be a 13-year-old boy and be a father. It's the same. It's a spirit. There's a maturity. And Father, I just pray for the seed to come in right now and the anointing to be a spiritual mother and father to a generation. God, let us hear this email. Let us hear the condition of, like Nehemiah heard, the condition of Jerusalem. Let it affect our hearts, God. Let the condition affect our hearts and give us hope. Look at this word, hope. I walked in and this is it. There is hope. There is a God who walked down off of the mountain into real people's lives. And fill us with this hope so that we can walk into people's lives tonight. In Jesus' name, Pastor Marty, thank you so much for this opportunity. I believe that this rests on this house and there's a transference tonight happening in the Spirit.
Beautiful. Come on, give the Lord some praise. Spirit of the living God, lift up your hands one more time. Hallelujah. Come on, can we just call out to him just for a moment before we leave tonight? Come on, open up your mouth. Come on, open up your mouth. Some of you got kids. You got family members. Some of you young people, you got friends. They're teetering on the edge of drug use. They got troubles in their homes and their families. Just come on. Let's just pray just for a minute. Come on tonight. Thank you, Lord. We call out to you, Lord. We call out to you, Lord. We call out to you, Lord. I want every young person that you know of someone or it's you. I'm going to give you an easy tonight. If it's you or you know of someone that needs a touch like Mark was speaking of tonight, come quickly right now. I'm not going to wait. It's all going to be over in about 90 seconds. Come quick. Mark, come stand next to me right here. Come quick, 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 quick. Thank you, Lord. Just lay your hand on them, Mark. Go lay your hand on each one of them. Thank you, Lord God. Now, church, come on, stretch out your hand. Begin to pray. Begin to pray. Thank you, Lord God. Church, come on. Begin to pray. This isn't observation time. This is time for prayer. Come on. Yes, Lord. Oh, Lord. Powerful right now. Another 90 seconds. I want moms and dads, you just feel you're disconnected. Maybe you're a mother or a father to, it's not your natural child, but you don't know what to do anymore. Come stand next to me down here. We're going to pray over you. Come quickly. Come quickly. It's going to be over here in a minute. This is your moment. Moms and dads, maybe you're not even a natural mom or a natural dad, but you're influencing kids and you're at your wit's end, or maybe it's a coworker, maybe it's an adult, like Mark said. You don't have to be a child to be dealing with someone who is acting out childishly. Come. Thank you, Lord. We bless your name. We bless your name, Lord. We bless your name, Lord. we'll honor you. You have moved this house in a direction that you have so desired, and the people herein. And I pray that tonight there would be incredible spiritual releases, not only in this night, but in the days ahead. Great breakthroughs. Great breakthroughs. Great breakthroughs. I pray in this group of young people tonight that you will raise up pastors, prophets, evangelists, teachers, apostles. Let the fivefold ministry come alive. I'm going to walk right down through the middle of you. I want all you, I can't touch all. Reach out and touch me right now. Come on. Reach out. Reach out. Every one of you. Come on. Lord, I pray that tonight, Lord, that they will receive an anointing from heaven above, God. Fill their hearts with a desire to serve and to honor you, I pray, God. In the name of Jesus, Lord, each and every one of them, may they be filled with your power and your glory. Lord, even tomorrow when they go to school, things are different. They're different with parents, in the relationship with their parents. Woo, somebody needs that tonight. Who is that? In Jesus' name, a difference at home. God's going to go before you and he's going to work out some things that you've been struggling with. I see tears at nighttime and I see God wiping those tears away.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, we give you praise.
You know, when my wife Gabby and I go around and share this message, we've had parents come up and we've literally prayed for epileptic children or children with anger, ODD or OCD or ADD. Like those kind of symptoms are all connected to what I believe is in Mark 9. If you want to stand in the gap and we'll pray with you for a loved one, a child that you want to see healed of that, we have testimonies of parents have come up to us and say, my 11-year-old was handcuffed to his principal's chair because he has fits of rage at school and he can't control himself. And so we've seen people healed through this message. If you want to stand in the gap, just like this father in this story, and we'll pray for you, for your kids right now, tonight, and just believing that there might be someone in this room that wants to see that kind of breakthrough in their family and in one of their children, we're happy to pray with you tonight.
Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Praise God. Lord, we just want to say thank you tonight for all that you have done in this house. We give you glory for it. We give you the honor for it. Lord, may you rest mightily upon this house and do inside of each and every person what you have intended and set out to do. We give you thanks and we give you praise for it. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Come on, and all of God's people said a big amen tonight. Come on. Thank you, Lord. Man, I love you tonight. Hasn't this been wonderful? So appreciative to Mark sharing God's word, Stephen and the whole worship team coming tonight. We pray blessing over you and we honor you tonight. Listen, on your way out tonight, we have some invite cards for the whole Easter season starting for Palm Sunday. There's some people in the back that are going to give those to you. Would you take some and would you be, don't just throw them out somewhere. Don't just, you know, don't be covert. Put them in somebody's hand and say, this is the time of the year we want to invite you to come and bring them. Invite them to sit with you. Tell them, hey, you can sit with me. Some of you bold, you say, hey, let's go get coffee before, or let's go to lunch afterwards. Let's make this a moment. Let's do just what Mark said tonight and help some connect with a plan that God has for their life, okay? On the way out, you guys got them back there? Awesome. I love you. Go in God's grace tonight. Make sure you love one another on the way out.